Welcome to Perspective Transformation Radio, enjoying its 10th anniversary, often the number one live-airing broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and reaching a global audience of over 185,000 listeners. During this hour-long interview-style program, you'll meet Perspective Transformers, who come to share their most pivotal, life-changing insights and aha moments, offering you instant access to life, leadership, and God-loving seismic shifts of your own. We encourage you to invite friends to join you here now or share quotes with attribution and also reach out to our sponsor, womenspeakers.com. Womenspeakers.com is the most popular online connecting place for Christian event planners and Christian women speakers since 2002. I'm your host, Marnie Swedberg, and I encourage you to grab a notepad and get ready to meet today's Perspective Transformer. Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie, and welcome to the first show of 2020. We're excited to launch into this amazing year together with you, amazing year, amazing decade. And I'm excited to introduce Dave Curtis to you today. He's going to help us understand how to find, inspire, and retain donors. So this program is especially for those of you who already have or are thinking of starting a nonprofit or doing a nonprofit ministry. And during this hour, you're going to want to take some notes because he's going to share with us the easiest ways to find new donors for your ministry, the real secret to engaging donors, how to go deep, how to truly engage your donors, the 3C essentials for donor engagement, the key to getting donors interested to begin with, and what to focus on and expect. Dave Curtis is a wonderful trainer for this particular topic because he is the U.S. Director for the Great Commission Foundation, which provides a place for individuals on a mission and ministries and organizations to thrive in all areas of ministry in order to fulfill the Great Commission. Dave has a vast experience in local, national, and international ministry, all aspects of nonprofit fundraising, and is a much sought-after conference and retreat speaker, as well as an author for publications and professional journals. You can learn more about him and this ministry at friendsgc.com. Welcome to you, Dave.
Hi, Marnie. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm so excited to be here with you. And I just want to go back a little bit and explain to you guys how I met Dave was just last year. And my ministry has kind of shifted a little bit and is moving somewhat more toward a mission base, at least part of it. And so I reached out to Dave because Friends of the Great Commission. Do you say it Friends of the Great Commission or Great Commission Foundation?
Well, both. Friends of the Great Commission is our ministry in Canada, and Friends of the Great Commission is our ministry in the U.S.
Got it. Okay. So anyway, I reached out to you, and you explained that your organization helps people who don't want to set up their own nonprofit, but who need a nonprofit umbrella to be under. And I'm really excited to be going to work with you guys going forward and super excited to share some of the things that you were talking to me about during our first conversation, as well as some additional stuff that you've put together for us for this program today. So I'm eager to just dive right in. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks so much, Marnie. Can I start first with a scripture from 2 Corinthians 9?
Yes, please do.
Verses 9 through 12, it says, "As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Mm-hmm. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." Isn't that a great scripture?
Ah, oh, it's really beautiful. My theme verse for life is actually 2 Corinthians 9:8. Which is, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having everything you need, you may abound in every good work. And this whole passage is full of superlatives. You know, we look at the dollars we're missing or whatever, and God says, I have enough, don't worry.
Yeah, exactly true. Exactly true. Well, today, I really like to have us focus our hearts and lives on some donor development practices, especially those that give a positive reflection on the character of Jesus. I mean, we really need to serve to elevate Christ's reputation among those who see or hear from us about our ministry. It, you know, it really isn't just about us, it's really about Him. And so even as we talk for this next hour, we want to think about donor development and all the things that we're doing to serve donors as an offering to God, is what we're doing for and with Him to serve our donors, to love them and care for them, to lift them to God. So let's launch in. How about that?
That sounds great. And you have a great starting point for us. You want to talk about some easy ways to find new donors, which I think everybody would be interested in.
I do. And first thing I want to do before I get into that easy way to find donors is let's figure out why people actually give to ministries. You know, the first reason is the mission that you have. They believe in your mission, and they stay with you because you've proven yourself worthy of their trust and their commitment. And here, I think it's critically important for every ministry to have great transparency and to be very dependable, you know, to know that we're delivering what we say we're going to deliver. We are who we say we are. And so when we do something, we're true to our word. I think that really honors God and honors our donors. So the first reason they give is because they're mission driven. The second reason is because people just feel a desire to make a difference. They want to make a direct impact on proving a situation. And when they do, they feel empowered. So that's why an ask, whether it's through an appeal letter or a face-to-face meeting, needs to be about specific and detailed differences that they can make with their gift. The third reason is just personal satisfaction. This isn't a really long point. Donating feels good, and people like to feel good. So just letting people feel good about themselves and about their opportunity to serve the world is they just love that. They want to be satisfied. Release some serotonin levels, if you know what I mean. And then family and upbringing. Yeah, family and upbringing. Many donors, the charitable giving is a family tradition. It's just handed down, you know, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child, you know, and if we want our children to be generous people, we have to lead by example. So often you'll find generous people are from generous families. And then the fifth reason I think people give is an emotional act, because they hear real life impact stories, because people connect far more to personal stories than about statistics and broad statements. I mean, Marnie, can you see your eyes roll to the back of your head when you see all kinds of numbers and figures on a sheet and, you know, facts and figures? It's good to have facts, but we need to put a human face on those facts and statistics and get to the heart of the matter of what God's doing in people's lives. And so when you share that with your donors, they connect with you on a far greater personal level. And then number six is people have faith in God. Being a Christian really matters. You know, it's interesting when you look at USA's 2017 special report on giving to religion, they discovered that 62% of religious households give to charity of some kind. Now, I wish that'd be more, but I'm so grateful for that 62%. So faith in God really does matter. And then another reason people give is, believe it or not, social networks still work. They really do. The power of social media combines with the ease of online giving. Man, that really grabs us. All of us know the stories of, you know, the ice bucket challenge and all those types of things. And people love to see their friends get involved in a cause. And the more they get involved, the more they want to be involved, because they see their friends involved in it. And then the last reason is tax benefits. Now, we don't know, Marnie, what the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act will do. Jobs Act will do for every organization and for every ministry. And we know the standard deduction increase and the personal exemptions have been limited. We know that's going to affect charitable giving. But we also know that people do want to make a case. They have certain situations where they need those tax benefits. But I'd like to tell you the number one reason why donors stop giving to a ministry. They stop giving because they don't think their gift matters to your ministry. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. They sort of feel either taken for granted, or they just lose touch with you, and they don't understand where they fit in your ministry or what they're doing, to what they can do to be involved with you. So we have to figure out how to mobilize our supporters, and we need to get first-time donors. And that's what we really want to talk about here is how do we find some first-time donors? And I got to tell you, the easiest way to do this, Marnie, is to do a fundraising event. Do a fundraising event. And one of those could be as simple as a walkathon, where the walker asks their friends or their family members to sponsor them. And you know, there you can use various types of fundraising opportunities and platforms to get that happen. You can do house parties, you can do golf events, you can do a 5K walk, run, you can do fishing events, you can do clay shoots. I mean, the list is endless. But the key to selecting the right event is to not start with the event itself, but to start by understanding the culture of who's already supporting you. So when you think about who do I already have supporting me, who's already praying with me, who's already serving with me, then choose an event that would most excite and energize your supporters, because they're the ones who are going to bring the new donors in, and they're going to be the ones who are participating with you in fundraising. And so that's one of the easiest ways to find donors. Once you determine that event, you can pick up 100 to 200 first-time donors on your first event, and you can repeat that annually. You can continue to add new donors to your database. And but they're not true ministry donors yet. This is just a way to introduce themselves to you by giving, but they're really giving to support the friend who asked them to be involved with it, right? And so you need to figure out and create a simple, systematic communication process. Think about thank you phone calls, personal notes, ongoing mailings. And you can use direct mailings, but email conversations with people is just as effective these days. And you want to build a direct relationship with your new donors. And when you convert those new donors, about 25% of your new donors will probably become ongoing donors if you figure out this communication process well. And so it's really important. Who I've connected with.
Okay, so we missed that. We heard all the way through 25% of new donors might continue if you figure out the communication. And then what did you say right after that it dropped?
Oh, I said basically that this direct relationship, this way in which you begin to create a relationship with people through a pattern of communication, then they become ongoing donors and gives you a relationship web that begins to expand, that you begin to pyramid those partners, and those new donors involve you with other new donors and refer you to other new donors. And you begin to track those types of donors in your database. You got to keep track of who knows who and how they know one another. And I would really encourage all of our listeners to, especially you're starting in a new ministry, you're probably using an Excel sheet, which is fine, but think about a database manager that'll help you grow your ministry. There are a variety of inexpensive customer relationship managers, we call them CRMs, that are out there. And I think like of HubSpot and Agile and Virtuous and Kindful. And those kind of databases help you segment your donors, help you remember when you're going to be in touch with your donors, help you serve them well. But there's really a secret to engaging donors, Marnie, especially for Christian ministries. Do you know what that secret is?
Tell me.
The real secret is discipleship. It's about being driven by a desire for the donor's best. To think about how am I going to help lead the people who are supporting me in my ministry? How can I lead them closer to the heart of Christ? They're not just a bank account. They're a person, right? And so we need to really seek to develop a relationship that's not transactional, but is actually mutually transformative. And because sometimes ministries get into a pattern where they think, well, people should support us. why, I have a great idea. I know it's from God. I know he wants to do great things in my life and in other people's lives. Why aren't people just giving me money? You know, but quite frankly, we've got to become more involved in our donor's life through prayer. We need to get involved with God's word and really think about how we encourage and learn how to serve the donor that God has given us. Because what we're really doing is trying to seek the transformation of a person, not the transaction of a check to cover our expenses. And we can't see transformation in our ministry if we're not seeking the transformation of our donors. Really key, really important. I mean, when I talked about that series of communications just a second ago, and I talked about, you know, how you develop this system of communications, I'm not trying to just apply a science to donor development. I'm really thinking about how do we build a lasting relationship with the people who God has called to serve us. It gives us the opportunity by thinking through the schedule of communications of how to disciple our donors, how to love them closer to the heart of God, how to help them activate by the power of the Holy Spirit in their life so that God can bless them and that they would then have be able to participate with you in what God has called you to do. So over those following weeks and months of finding those new donors, of having a couple quick events, whether it be house parties or a walk-a-thon or a shooting event, whatever you're going to do, you provide information about your ministry and the impact that you've made and the role of the donor and the success of your ministry, which is really everything. And you start to tell people about specific stories about the people and the causes they've helped make it happen. And remember, I can't stress this enough. I'll talk about it again a little bit later. But too often we make all of our communication about how great we are as a ministry instead of how great our donors are. That if it weren't for our donors, we wouldn't have the ministry that God has called us to. And so we need to make this about how the donor has made our ministry happen. So whether we're inviting the donor to connect on social media, whether we're sending a calendar of events with volunteer opportunities and fundraisers or workshops so that donors can do more than give money, I mean, we're doing everything we can to help them see the power of what they're doing. That's how you begin to get started in raising donor engagement.
I really like the phrase you use, mutually transformational versus transactional. That's really cool. And if we use what's coming to mind is using a church as a template then. So I think most missionaries, most people who are raising funds aren't perceiving themselves as someone who's feeding the donors.
Right. It's very true, Marnie. We do take this transactional view and we say, well, people should support us. Why aren't they supporting us? How come they're not supporting us? And that's a scarcity mentality. And it's also not truly scripturally based kind of way to do a ministry. The way we do a ministry is to actually invest in people's lives, invest in their spiritual growth, invest in their prayer life, and help bring them to a new place with God. Help them discover a new way of achieving what God has called them to do in terms of making a difference in this world.
Beautiful.
So
beautiful.
Yeah. So you're thinking through a plan of finding and embracing and nurturing donors. And yeah, it's great. You got to figure out who you're working with and all that you're doing. But we want to serve our donor. We want to love them and care for them. But and I would say one of the ways you can figure out a little bit more about how your donors tick, how you can actually begin that process of discipleship, is pick up the phone and have a conversation. Do a little survey. Find out why donors give. Find out what the information or the approach triggered, their positive or their negative response to your appeal. I'd include people that haven't given to you in a while. Maybe they gave one time a long time ago. We call those people lapsed donors. And at the very least, you can figure out why they've stopped giving. But that conversation begins to set the plate. It begins to set the opportunity for a deeper and deeper relationship with them. And make sure that you're gathering that information. You're putting it in your CRM software so that you keep in touch with them and you know who they are, where they're at, what they're praying about, what they're looking forward to, and how you should connect with them. But you have to remember, man, donors, they figure out who you are. They will figure out who you are pretty quickly. by whether you are approaching them transactionally or whether you're approaching them mm-hmm. transformationally.
Mm. Yeah, that's really cool. So your third point was going deeper, how to truly engage your donors. And do you have some examples of
Oh, good.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think of a couple people. I had a volunteer once who was a great donor, and they just sort of disappeared off the radar, you know, and you just sort of wonder what in the world has happened to them, you know, and yeah. I'd call and couldn't get a return call. I'd send a note and never got any feedback from that. You know, I couldn't find them at church, you know, I couldn't figure out what was going on. Finally, I talked to their spouse and they began, actually, she got a little teary. His wife got a little teary and said, well, you know, he's under some incredible pressure at work. And I had remembered that this gentleman really loved Oreo cookies. She was telling me that he was working till midnight every night. I knew where he worked, prayed about it, thought about it, went to the store, got a gallon of milk and a bag of Oreo cookies and stood outside and threw a rock up because I knew where his office was. And I felt like, you know, Rapunzel here, you know, or some one of those stories. And he came to the window, he looked at me and he put his hands up and he went, like, sort of like, what, you know? And I just held up the gallon of milk and the Oreo cookies, and he started laughing. And he came down, unlocked the door, walked me in, and we sat there till about 3 a.m, actually. We ate the Oreo cookies, drank the milk, cried a bit, we prayed a lot, and we just sort of talked it through. You know, we're fast friends today. Mm-hmm. And I really wasn't concerned about the check that he was going to write. I was concerned about him. And his what was going on in his life and his marriage. And so that's just one story. I've got another one. It's sort of interesting. I had a businessman who I knew had tremendous capacity, but his marriage was in trouble. His business was about ready to drive him under. He's making some compromises in his business, you know, ethical lapses. And I just said out of the blue, and I sure didn't really necessarily want to do this, to be honest, but I said, hey man, let's meet at 6 o'clock every Tuesday at Starbucks. You know, that's a commitment. 6 o'clock at Starbucks. And I didn't meet with him so that I could get a gift. I met with him because I was concerned about him. And we met every week, 6 a.m. Starbucks. Boy, it was brutal, you know, and I got tired of Starbucks really quick, right? You know, after about a year, his business began to solidify. He began to shed some of those ethical lapses. He began to focus on his marriage. And what was interesting is we went into a campaign, and I knew what I was going to ask him for. That turned into a $400,000 one-time gift. Hmm. Over a period of years, he gave $700,000 more. I did not start meeting at 6 a.m. at Starbucks for $400,000.
Right.
I met because I cared about him and I loved him. And I knew that God needed to do more in his life. Now, can you do that with every donor you have? No. But there are some people that God calls you to. But unless you know your donors, unless you're ready to truly engage with your donors and see them as more than a dollar sign, you'll never have those occasional opportunities that God brings your way to do miracles in your ministry. And I got to tell you, his gifts made miracles happen in our ministry. So you've got to involve your donors more intimately so that they can see that they can have a bigger impact spiritually, financially, but also in ministry. I mean, you can invite them to pray daily or to serve on a prayer committee led by one of your super volunteers. They could volunteer their own professional expertise. They could serve on your board. They could help you recruit volunteers. You know, there are people, there are great donors that really help you reach out to more donors, and they will help you make phone calls. They'll come in, and generally speaking, deeper donor engagement translates to more consistent giving and larger gifts, but you're doing this because God has called you to be a part of people's lives. So it's really important to understand how people want to be involved. Sure, go ahead, Barney.
As I'm listening to you, I feel like a lot of the thinking that's been in my head as someone who gives, as well as someone who requests, has gotten the cart before the horse a little bit. And I'm very comforted in the way that you're approaching this. So maybe the same types of things are happening either way, but boy, there's a different feel to it when the eyes are off the money and the eyes are on the person's discipleship. I really love that as a key.
Well, when you think about how God approaches us, Marnie, that's really the essence of what I'm talking about.
Right.
God doesn't look at the absolute end result. He looks at us where we are now and walks with us now.
Mm-hmm.
He invests in what we need when we need it and provides for us exactly what we need as we walk with him each and every day. He's not trying to make us, you know, into some giant somewhere. He's trying to make us into a follower of him now. You know?
Yeah.
And so I think your observation is really keen. We do get the cart before the horse. Now, we do have to raise funds to, you know, support our ministry. We have to employ the science of fundraising. We have to do it the right way and the right heart. But we have to always remember, and in fact, the absolute best fundraisers I've known in all the years that I've done this, those are the people who figure out how to love the people that they're serving and how to lead them into a deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. I've only worked with Christian organizations, so that's my framework, right? And so they want to lead them into a deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. They have to know when to invest and when to sort of pull back. And we have to understand that God's at work in somebody's life, that we're not the only person, you know, involved in their spiritual growth. There are many people that are a part of this if they're obedient to Christ. We're one part of what God can do in someone's life to really unleash grace in their life.
Hmm. Yeah, really beautiful. You have three C. Where does it start with? C, essentials for donor engagement. What are those?
Oh, my three C. They are communicate, communicate, and communicate. To communicate. I mean, Tony Gaskins is a relationship expert, and a lot of people have said this, not just him, but here's a quote. He said, communication to a relationship is like oxygen to life. Without it, it dies. And all those in marriage understand that very, very well. You really have to communicate, right? And so it goes without saying that relationships are built on a foundation of effective communication. And so when you think about that, it is between individuals, but it's also between the donor and the ministry. It's not really a series of just sort of one-off sporadic tasks, like shooting somebody an occasional email or putting up a random tweet or sending out a newsletter twice a year. You have to think, as we sort of alluded to a little bit earlier, that it's a process, a system, or a strategy to effectively cultivate donor relationships. And so you don't want to just take anything for granted. You want to think that each task that you're putting together in this plan of communication is part of the larger story of the ministry that God is doing in you and through what you're doing. And you can manage those tasks through your CRM. And so you have to have an annual fundraising plan, but that's for another show, Marnie, about a whole annual fundraising plan.
Okay.
But I got to tell you, donors will be interested if you'll be interesting. Okay. And so not everybody just loves an email, but they love a good story. And any story told in a natural, authentic way, that engages people. It engages their passion and their empathy. Your donor communication shouldn't sound like a term paper. And it shouldn't just all be about you, like we've mentioned before. It's about them, the donor, and their impact on their ministry. So tell your story in a creative writing style or even via video. And I got to tell you, I think it's great to have super professional video shots, but you know, a lot of donors get a little tired of something that's super slick. You can get something from an online store that's got some lighting. You can use your iPhone to start. You really can. And you can keep it short and sweet and send out a little snippet in an email of a video that you've made and doing some of the ministry that you're doing, and that'll begin to engage your donors. So, but you need to make your donor communication interesting and relevant and use everyday language with smaller and significant stories that have impact on your donors. I mean, quite frankly, here's an example. Can't you just sort of feel yourself sort of zone out when you hear about the endless homelessness epidemic across the United States? I mean, you know, just that one thing. But if you hear about there's one child living on a street, find a loving home, you begin to pay attention and you begin to feel, because nobody thinks they can solve the homeless crisis, right? But they can reflect to and relate and empathize with a story about change in the life of a child. So if you take this really large, and often ministry leaders are very visionary, and so they take a very large, visionary, generalized approach, you begin to minimize your donors pretty instantly. I mean, that begins to shrink. So you've got to show how one donor can make a difference, one person, one family at a time. Your story needs to be their story and the donor's story of how they're making an impact and they're making the difference. So so the best donor communication is actually interactive. If you provide an opportunity for your donors to respond or to comment, you do this on your show, and you do a great job of it. You know, they can forward it, they can tweet, they can post it on social media. And then in your writing your communication, don't send your communication as a ministry. Send it as a person, a real person, and hopefully that they can begin to reply on to the email. They can post it on social media. They can get involved, because every donor is unique and their own core beliefs and priorities that motivate them to support a ministry like yours. So we do need to figure out how do we actually communicate to our donors and not take a one-size-all approach to engaging donors. Otherwise, we come across as disingenuous. And so there's several ways to segment our donors. There's general annual donors. There's mid-level donors, major-level donors. There's mega donors. I have a resource for you. It's the 1994 book that sort of stands the test of time. It's called The Seven Faces of Philanthropy. And that'll help you tailor your approach to communicating, by looking at the different types of donors that are out there, to learn the language of your donors. And like we said a long time ago, and as we were talking, bank accounts don't give you, people do. So real relationships are really important, you know? And so you want to pick up the phone to know what your donors are thinking. You want to have face-to-face meetings with your donors. But I would encourage you not to neglect the smaller donors who are probably supporting your nonprofit in many other ways and probably for a longer amount of time than even a major donor does. So we do remember that a few do a lot and many do little, right? And yeah. So pick out, and in fact, here's something that's sort of fun, Marnie. I think ministries often ignore their smaller donors. And I've worked with several organizations that have done this, and this particular thing I'm going to mention, and it's really made a huge difference in people's lives. You pick out the smallest gifts given to your ministry over the past year, and then spend December calling them and thanking them for what they've given. You know, it really pays off when somebody's given $50 and you call them and thank them and ask how you can pray for them. And then you pray for them on the phone before you hang up. You know, it's amazing. That may turn into a larger gift, but I got to tell you, that's going to start to create changed lives. And people are going to say, you know, this is a ministry that really cares about me. And they really care about who they serve. And as a result, I'm going to pray for them even more. And I'm going to probably give even more than I have before. So we may spend too much time thinking about the major donors that are out there and the big dollars we're looking for. And we think, you know, God can do a lot with little. You know, He can do a lot. And that word of mouth is a huge, strong reference point for you and your ministry when people say, you know, well, you wouldn't believe it. They actually called me in December, and they asked how they could pray for me. That's really critical.
I have to tell you, about a year ago, maybe a little longer than that, God let me see, he just, I was just in church and singing a song, and all of a sudden I just comprehended that I was allowed, I'm going to say it that way, I was allowed, it was my privilege, I had the opportunity to use some of my quote-unquote marketing time to call and pray with speakers at womenspeakers.com. So I pray for them as a group every day almost, and then I also pray for them individually as things come up, but I just started incorporating some calling and praying time into my days when I used to be doing a different form of marketing. And it has just been absolutely breathtaking how many times I call and the lady's like in tears. She's like, how did you know to call me today? And it's just been unbelievable. And you don't have to wait for December. I mean, if you just, if God puts this in your heart, just know that prayer is the most powerful thing. And you're not doing it to be manipulative. And I think that that's what I really love. That was the first thing I loved about you, Dave, and about FGC, is that it just feels to me that in everything you're doing, that you're putting Jesus first, trusting him for the finances, and doing what you need to do. Like every morning we get out of bed and we get dressed, and we wouldn't just lay in bed all day. There's things we're supposed to do, but yet it's doing it for him, to him, through him, by him, for his glory. And so I just love this approach.
Oh, you nailed it. You just nailed it. You know, it's just as I described it, donor engagement truly for Christian ministries, it's discipleship. I mean, your spouse can tell when you're actively listening to what they say, right? To what you're saying. And and your donors can tell whether you really care about them, whether you're actively listening, whether you're actively curious about them, whether you're asking questions or you just sort of have this canned kind of, hey, thanks for your donation, God bless you kind of thing. And you know, that you listening like that, Marnie, is really the work of God in the world. It, you know, God can do anything he wants to do, but he chooses to do it through us most of the time, right? And so it's so amazing. Why would you have this system that you've put down? You probably have lined out. You're not necessarily randomly calling people. Maybe you are, as God leads you. But you have this system. But even in putting the system together, God's speaking through that. Because God knows what day you're going to call them, and God knows what they're going to be going through on that day. He's not imposed. Right. He's involved in this world. He's engaged. So a plan doesn't mean that you're not engaging, you know? It just means it gives you the opportunity to engage and to show that you genuinely value people and you love them and you care about them. You're right about people calling. So I can't believe you called today, because today, yesterday, this happened, or this morning, this happened. It's all part of what God wants to do. Absolutely.
I marveled when I got back from Africa this fall. I had been gone for, you know, a month. And I got back, and then I started calling again. And very shortly, like 2 days into the calls, I got a lady, and she that very day had decided that unless God did something, she was going to quit. She was going to stop speaking. She was just going to quit, and he was going to have to prove to her. And so I talked to her for about 2 minutes, and she said, just a second. She said, you were right. And I said, what was that? She goes, that was my husband. He told me this morning when I told him, this is it. Today, I'm quitting. He said, just watch. God's going to do something to help you understand you're not supposed to. And, you know, when I thought about that, I thought, you know, I took a whole month off of my job. I took a month off of my job calling in the afternoons. And God perfectly orchestrated what day to have me call that particular speaker in order. You know, it's like he's so good at this, you guys. So just trust him.
Oh, it's so true. And you know, one little thing, this is really interesting, Marnie. I love that you're calling your speakers, and I know that's making such a huge difference in their lives. But you know, after a meeting and a conversation, sometimes it's so important to follow up with a personal handwritten note. Do you remember the last time you received a handwritten note?
Yeah, no, you don't get too many. Right.
I mean, they don't either. And it's just amazing. Yeah. I've actually been with people who I remember walking into a pastor's study, and I was doing fundraising in a church, and the note that I had sent him 6 months ago was still sitting on his desk. And you know, you would think, well, this is a pastor. He has all the encouragement he needs in his life, right? No, everybody needs to find a source of encouragement. And so, you know, when you're praying through your donor list, when you're caring about people, when you're loving them and you're serving them and your focus is on building relationships, I got to tell you, donations are going to follow. They will follow, you know, because donors begin to get passionate about your mission. They begin to get confident in the impact of their gifts and what they're doing. And then they begin to deepen their engagement with you. And they may never stop giving, you know, because they just believe in what you're doing. They begin to just, they're living life with you and you're living life with them. So it's not a cookie cutter approach, but it is a science. There's a lot of competition for attention, for the time, for the financial support from donors. But the relationships that we invest in take effort. And yeah, it's two way, but when you're listening and you're learning, those are two of your greatest tools in loving your donors, in seeking their best, in serving them as best you can. And I got to tell you, Marnie, that's priceless. It's just priceless.
Yeah. So what would you say to the person who hasn't got any donors? They're just thinking of doing this ministry or mission, and they're like, I don't even know where to begin.
Well, I would invite my closest friends to my home. I'd cook them dinner, and I would share what God has put on your heart. And I would lay it right out there. I said, this is what I think God is doing in me. This is what he's trying to do. What do you think? And before we leave, would you all pray with me about this? And I would do more than one of those dinners. I would do multiple. In fact, I would have every one of my friends that were there say, hey, would you host a dinner for me in your home so that I could share my vision? I just want to see if this is really what God wants to do in and through my life. I have this compulsion. I have this draw, this calling. And I just want to see, is this what God wants me to do? And I want to open myself up to people praying for me and being a part of my prayer network. And they begin to sign up for your prayer your prayer letter. And they begin, then once you have that prayer letter, that's when you begin to say, hey, we need some donations, but you have to have a program. You know, you've got to have a ministry, right? And so people give to something. They don't just give to an idea. They give to something that's happening. And so you start by inviting people into your ministry, invite them to pray with you, and then invite them to participate with you. That's how I would do it. How does that sound?
Mm-hmm. So what should we focus on and what should we expect?
What do you mean by that, Marnie?
Well, when we're going into this, just in closing this part out, and then I want to talk for a little bit about FGC specifically. But when somebody's doing the donor relationships.
Yeah. Oh, it's a hard slog. There's no doubt about it. It's easy to be discouraged. Like I said before, there's so much competition for people's dollar, for their time, you know, their attention. You know, if you have school-age children, you're getting something home from school nearly every week, you know, and your church is handing you stuff, and people are, you've signed up with other ministries, they're contacting you. I know we asked in a large ministry I work for, we asked our board, which is a very high-powered board, we asked how many personal appeals are you having, in other words, a request for an in-person conversation in the month of December. And we said, just write the number down on a card and then turn it in. The average was 48. 48 people were trying to get with them in the month of December. So people have just sort of this cacophony of noise in society, and they're actually trying to actually live life. So they're busy. And so it's a hard slog. But when we follow the calling that God's given us, and we depend on him, and we put our complete trust and hope in him, and we spend time with him in sorting out the direction that we're going to take, the people that we're going to contact with, the ways in which we're going to communicate, the plan that we have to communicate with people about what we're doing, you can sort of expect that over the first year is a time, I think, of preparation. and getting ready for what God wants you to do. But then you got to get yourself out there, right? And especially for your speakers, they have to begin to network and create opportunities to get out there and share what God is doing and what he's done in their life. And that then they need to begin to retain all the information that they're receiving from the people who are at those events. They need to have a mechanism by which people can sign up to be a part of a prayer letter or sign up for a newsletter, and they begin acquiring names and email addresses and phone numbers and addresses so that they can actually communicate with people. Does that make sense?
It does. What do you say to the listener who is just overwhelmed? Like, I don't think I have it in me to do all this communication. I don't, that's not my gift. You know, I'm trying to go help the children in an orphanage or something. What do you say to them?
Oh, I say, welcome to me. I don't think I can do all this. You know, I think without God's help, I can't do it at all. But part of what happens is when you have that gathering, especially several of those gatherings of your close friends, and you begin to lay out your vision, God begins to speak to their heart. And in that group of people, there may be a finance person, there may be a person who does social media, there may be a person who loves to write, there may be a person who loves to be on the phone to call people. You'll find God will bring the resources to you that he has called you for. But you have to put it out there, and you have to present it in a way that will invite people to participate with you, because together you can do more. You know, by yourself, the Lone Ranger doesn't work. I mean, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? I mean, it just doesn't work by yourself. You've got to involve people and ask them to invest in the ministry that God's called you to. And I would say, and I have to be really frank about this, that if you can't find people to involve themselves in the ministry God's called you to, if they won't invest in the ministry God's called you to, you may have missed it, right? And you have to fine-tune it and rethink, what is God actually calling me to do here? Mm-hmm. Maybe I've missed hearing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I want to help. Maybe I'm a donor. I'm not a starter, you know? Maybe I'm a prayer warrior, but I'm not the starter of a ministry. But maybe I am. I just need to spend more time with him and more time with trusted people that I know are godly, that are biblically based, that will tell me the truth, and that will say, yes, I will invest your life. Marnie, I had a conversation about a half an hour ago with somebody who used to work for me who felt that God was calling them to do something, and they wanted to talk to me to say, Dave, this is what I'm thinking about. What do you think? And I spent, you know, I got on the call when I was supposed to get on the call to do this show, but I got off that previous call about 5 minutes before. I was looking at the clock, you know, but I was so excited to invest in this person. You've got to think, who is out there that loves you and prays for you and has invested in you before, and I can then begin to share what I think God is calling me to and test it. And see, is this what God wants to do in and through my life? And it will become clear. It will become clear.
I love that. And all of this has been so very, very good and helpful. So thank you for sharing that. I want to spend the next few minutes talking about friends, about FGC.com, and about how, so like I said at the beginning of the program, Dave, I found you guys because I was looking to start a nonprofit organization, but doing all of that paperwork for the size of organization I will have just seemed like overwhelming, daunting, not necessary somehow. And I had found you guys at a couple other places, and I just really resonated with the Great Commission Foundation. So maybe if you could just tell the listeners a little bit about what Friends GC is, how it could serve them.
Well, I'd love to. Friends of the Great Commission is the U.S. ministry, and we work exclusively with Christian ministries and projects, individuals on mission, in a dynamic cooperative relationship. We specialize in helping nonprofits that already exist but need administrative support, but we also specialize on people who wish to begin a ministry that we can provide that essential administrative and accounting expertise and our nonprofit status. You know, to file for a nonprofit, it isn't difficult, but it does require due diligence and, you know, we've got to get the paperwork done correctly. You've got to maintain that nonprofit. I mean, it's not just sort of, hey, I filed it. Hey, guess what? Now I'm a ministry. With us, you can literally have instant ministry because we provide our nonprofit status for you in what's called fiscal sponsorship. You know, Marnie, we've found out that a lot of folks have great vision and they have a great mission, but they don't know how to execute the nitty-gritty very well sometimes. And they can miss out on the administrative detail. They can get their finances sort of sideways, and that's not really honoring to God. It doesn't really help their ministry at all. And so we can help them with our administrative and accounting expertise so that they can do their ministry well. And so we work with over 400 ministries in the United States and Canada, allowing those who are gifted and called to ministry to fulfill their calling. And that our calling is to sort of be their back office, to sort of release them to do what God has called them to do. And then we provide the expert knowledge and the professional services like donations processing and receipting and bookkeeping, each fund tracked separately, doing accounts payable, doing the IRS compliance piece. We do all of that, and you can read a lot about us at friendsgc.com, friendsgc.com.
Awesome. Well, that is a good little introduction. I think what I want to mention right now is one of the things that I was curious about that you guys might be curious about right now while you're considering this. Maybe if you were thinking about something like this as you came to this training program today, one of my questions was, you know, as a project under you, as one of the fiscal sponsorships, would I have a checkbook of my own, or how would that actually look?
When you have a checkbook of your own, how does that look? Those funds come to us. We then receipt those funds to your donors and then transfer the funds into your bank account.
Okay.
That's how it works.
Okay. And to get it from you guys into our bank accounts, what do you need for that? Just invoice,
yeah,
or what do you need for it?
No, what we need is a budget, and we need to see that budget, and then we need to have reporting on that budget. And so what we're going to do is help each ministry really be the best that they can be, have the highest level of compliance, because we're all about honoring Christ here. We want his name to be renowned. We want every Christian ministry to have no financial crisis or scandal, right? We want to see people just be above board in everything. So what we'll require is that you submit a budget of what your ministry is going to achieve. And that's, you know, your budget's your roadmap and gives you sort of an idea of here's what we're trying to do. And then you raise the funds, they come to us, we process them on your behalf. We issue that tax receipt, that donated, a tax deductible donation receipt. And then we receive a report from you that says, yes, the monies that have been spent actually align with our budget, with our mission, our vision, and our values. And then we help you keep that on the high road of excellence to represent Christ well.
Mm, I love that. So what kinds of organizations currently work with you?
Oh, man, we've got everybody from local churches, church starts, individuals on mission. I'd mentioned that before, but that's somebody who maybe they don't want to start a ministry, but they want to raise funds to go serve, you know, over in Africa or Haiti or Central South America, wherever God's called them to be, but they don't have a covering agency, so to speak. Well, you can work with us, that you can raise the funds to go, and then, you know, that will then be a tax-deductible donation for your supporters. We can issue them those receipts, and then we'll transfer those funds to you, and you can take off and do what God has called you to do. So church plants, churches, individuals on mission, and then both anywhere from small to medium to large size nonprofit Christian ministries. We have the full scope of people who are raising millions and millions of dollars, or those that are raising $10,000 a year. So everything in between is who we're serving.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we are just about out of time here. Before we go, Dave, can you share with us one of the most, maybe a story that of someone who was struggling, maybe came under FGC, and you don't necessarily have to use the name of the person or the ministry, but just something, a story that you know about somebody that came under the Great Commission Foundation. That's one of your favorite stories to tell.
Oh, I just love to talk about an organization that that is reaching Muslims around the world through radio and internet broadcast, internet outreach. They are based out of Northern Europe, but did not have a Canadian or U.S. registration. And as a result, their fundraising was fairly limited. You know, Christianity in Northern Europe is struggling, and they're definitely a very strong Christian ministry. And they had this great vision of how do we reach Islamic people with the gospel and do it in such a way that it will be broadcast into their home. And, you know, Iran is in the news today and has been for a couple days now, and will probably continue to be in the news. And this particular ministry is reaching into Iran through satellite television ministry. And it is on a satellite that is hosted that reaches directly into Iran without screening. So that means that the people of Iran can search their satellite TV. They will find this station, and people are coming to Christ all the time through this. But they didn't have, like I said before, they didn't have U.S. or Canadian registration. And so they came to us and said, well, how do we begin to raise funds here in North America? Because we know God has called us to do what we're doing. They got involved with us. They're raising millions of dollars and impacting hundreds and thousands of non-believing people to a faith in Jesus Christ. That's one of my favorite ministries. I love it.
I love it. Perfect. So awesome.
And you know, it doesn't have to be that big, Marnie. It can be somebody who is raising $10,000 to $20,000 a year and is changing their community for Christ. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Well, this has been truly informative as well as inspirational. Thank you, Dave, for being with us today.
Marnie, thank you so much. I'm so grateful that you've talked about Friends of the Great Commission and given us an opportunity to just love and serve people so that God is glorified and honored.
Thank you. And thank you guys for being here. It's just always so fun to spend these Wednesday afternoons live with you, as well as thank you to those of you who join us from around the web. We're just so excited to be part of your life and to share your journey, your ministry, your business, whatever it is that God's got you doing with you through these training programs. If you would like to host the show, just go to blogtalkradio.com/Marnie's Friends. You can download a player box there and put it right on your website. And to those of you who've already done that, thanks a million. And also, if you have someone that you think I should interview, or if you want to be interviewed, go ahead over to perspectivetransformation.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page there and you'll find everything you need. The hub for all of this is marnie.com, M-A-R-N-I-E.com. That's my home base. And all it's the umbrella under which everything else flows. Our sponsor is womenspeakers.com. And let's see if I could throw one more website at you and get you really confused. It's the beginning of the year. And if you're looking for events to take your women's ministry group to, go to womensevents.info, womensevents.info. Once again, my pleasure to be here with you this afternoon. I hope you have a wonderful day, wonderful week, and honestly, a wonderful year and a wonderful decade. Happy 2020 to you. See you next time. Bye-bye.